This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وألق ما في يمينك تلقف ما صنعوا إنما صنعوا كيد ساحر ولا يفلح الساحر حيث أتى فألقي السحرة سجدا قالوا آمنا برب هارون وموسى قال آمنتم له قبل أن آذن لكم إنه لكبيركم الذي علمكم السحر فلأقطعن أيديكم وأرجلكم من خلاف ولأصلبنكم في جذوع النخل ولتعلمن أينا أشد عذابا وأبقى قالوا لن نؤثرك على ما جاءنا من البينات والذي فطرنا فاقض ما أنت قاض إنما تقضي هذه الحياة الدنيا إنا آمنا بربنا ليغفر لنا خطايانا وما أكرهتنا عليه من السحر والله خير وأبقى إنه من يأت ربه مجرما فإن له جهنم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا ومن يأته مؤمنا قد عمل الصالحات ومن يأته مؤمنا قد عمل الصالحات فأولئك لهم الدرجات العلا جنات عدن تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها وذلك جزاء من تزكى
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب زدني علما رب زدني علما رب زدني علما اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. Welcome everyone to the continuation of Tafsir Surah Taha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to narrate for us the story of Musa alayhi salam with Fir'aun and now the challenge that Fir'aun had made to Musa alayhi salam and Harun. And they're now in the middle of the challenge. And Musa alayhi salam is now commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, A, not to fear him, and that's where we left off in our previous lesson. قُلْنَا لَا تَخَفْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْأَعْلَى. Don't become fearful, O Musa alayhi salam. Indeed, you will be the a'la, you will be the one who will prevail over them. Allah continues His commandments to Musa. He says, وَأَلْقِ مَا فِي يَمِينِكَ تَلْقَفْ مَا صَنَعُوا. And throw whatever happens to be in your right hand. Remember earlier on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Musa alayhi salam, that what happens to be in your right hand? وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. What's in your right hand, O Musa alayhi salam? Right? So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding him of what happens to be in his right hand, and that is very powerful, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow it to really truly transform into a snake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَلْقِ مَا فِي يَمِينِكَ تَلْقَفْ مَا صَنَعُوا. Throw whatever happens to be, cast whatever happens to be in your right hand, i.e. the staff, i.e. the stick. تَلْقَفْ مَا صَنَعُوا. It will eat and it will swallow all of the things that they have done. All of those snakes. And we said there could have been thousands of magicians. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power is above all of that. And these are just magicians who are perhaps practicing sleight of hand. Right? Because Allah said, يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ. Right? It appears to him through their magic, but not in reality. إِنَّمَا صَنَعُوا كَيْدُ سَاحِرٍ. They're actually just acting like Sahara. They're simply doing the same thing that all other magicians do. And what happens to the actions of all the other magicians in the world as well? وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. And no sahir, no magician is actually able to prevail, and no magician is actually able to succeed, no matter what is it that he does. Okay? Now this is a reminder for all of us as well. Sometimes people are really afraid of magicians, and that person just did magic, and actually right before we started this episode, a few hours before that, I got a message from someone, is this sihr, is this not, and so on and so forth. So people are always extremely afraid of, maybe someone fell into sihr, and someone didn't fall into sihr, and this and that and the other, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have a general principle. Remember earlier on, Allah gave us another general principle. These are literally called the qawa'id Qur'aniyya, the principles of the Qur'an. Allah said, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنِ افْتَرَى. Whoever fabricates upon Allah Azza wa Jal, that person will have khaybah, that person will definitely be in loss. Similarly, the person who happens to be a magician, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no magician ever actually prevails, حَيْثُ أَتَى, no matter what that person does. So people will figure out he's a liar, people will figure out he's up to something, he's up to no good, people will figure all these things out, and also at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who had temporarily allowed for that person to be a test for other people, so it is only Allah who can solve the problem, and He's definitely not above Allah. So don't have fear, unnecessary, irrational fear of magicians, because they really can't do anything to you, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't wish for that to happen to you. وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. No matter what the magician does, he will never ever be victorious. He'll never ever win. Okay? فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سُجَّدًا. Now, what happened? These are sahara. These are all magicians before Musa alayhi salam. Now, in order for you to understand what's happening, you need to understand a very important factor. And that is that the magicians were actually forced into becoming magicians. By who? Fir'aun. Because Fir'aun was given by soothsayers a warning that there will be a child born amidst the Israelites, and that's why he used to kill all their children, right? And this child, what will he do? He will have knowledge of a certain type, and he will bring some sort of miracle. He'll have prophethood perhaps, or messenger. That will be the end of your kingdom, right? And he will have certain forms of miracles, right? And history books have it, tafsir books have it, that they actually said that he will have these two specific miracles which Allah listed already, the staff turning into a snake and the hand becoming becoming white. So he already knew that this may happen. Perhaps, again, as I said, these are books of history. We can report them, but we don't necessarily have to believe them unless we have an authentic chain, as we said before as well. But it's okay to report them as well. The Prophet ﷺ said, حَدِّثُوا عَن بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَلَا حَرَجٍ. Report from the Judeo-Christian traditions, and there's no problem with that. And what that simply means is you can go ahead and report whatever is within the Bible when we're trying to understand the Qur'an. We can take those reports, but we don't necessarily have to reject them, nor do we have to believe them. Most of the Mufassirin have accepted this over the generations, right? Now, so basically, this is what happened. That because of this reason, the Pharaoh, he used to be very keen on making sure that amidst his society are a very large number of magicians. So when that day comes, if it comes, because he wasn't sure himself as well, if it comes, then he will have someone to back him up. And that's exactly what happened. Now he has all these magicians before him. They did the same thing as the Prophet Musa alayhi salam took their staff and apparently made them into snakes. But now Allah says, فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سُجَّدًا. Now, these are all expert magicians. All of them, they fell into sujood. All of them. قَالُوا أَهْمَنَّا بِرَبِّ هَارُونَ وَمُوسَى. They said, we have now believed in the Lord of Harun and Musa alayhi salam. Because the people who are being challenged are the magicians, and they know best whether this was magic, whether this was just sleight of hand, or whether these were real snakes or not. They can tell. This is their trade, this is what they know. This is what they've been learning all their lives. This is what Fir'aun has been forcing them to do all of their lives, right? And they'll talk about that. وَمَا أَكْرَحْتَنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنَ السِّحْرِ. And also we're hoping that Allah will forgive us for all of the forceful learning of magic that you had done to us. We didn't want to do it, you forced us into it, because you were afraid for your mulk, O Fir'aun. You were afraid for your kingdom, O Fir'aun, right? So they all fell into sujood. Now, over here, just imagine this. And I heard this from my Shaykh, Shaykh Muhammad al-Khudairi, as he was doing the tafsir of these ayat as well. He said that this particular verse is a verse that every single time he recites, he cannot stop his amazement at this verse. Okay? He can't stop his amazement at this verse. He said that these are people who are akfarun nas. These are people who are the most worst of people in terms of their disbelief. They would be willing to go any mile in order for them to accomplish their goals of magic. Because magicians do all sorts of things. They will take the words of Allah and soak them in urine, in feces, in this, in menstruating blood, in all sorts of things, right? In vaginal discharge, all of that so that they please the jinn, and then the jinn end up doing for them whatever they wish for them to do, but in reality they're doing whatever the shayateen are wishing for them to do, right? So they will do all of these things, so they will do all forms of kufr in order for them to have their way in terms of magic, right? So these people, in a moment's time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned their hearts from the furthest of disbelief to absolute belief and certainty. That is really, truly a shocking reality. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take the hearts and flip them 180 degrees, so much so that the person is absolutely firmly established with resolve on belief. Ya muthabbit al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala ta'atik. Oh, affirmer of the hearts, one who affirms the heart, who reaffirms the heart, who establishes belief within the heart. Oh Allah, establish my heart upon your religion. Make that dua. Oh Allah, the one who turns the heart. Ya muqallib al-qulub. Oh Allah, the one who turns the heart. Turn my heart towards your worship and towards your obedience. Make this dua. This was a dua the Prophet ﷺ also used to make. So if Allah wishes for your heart to be established on belief, with immediacy, without any delay, you'll be established on belief. If Allah wishes for someone's heart to be turned away from guidance, they'll be turned away. Even if they're reading the book of Allah. Allah told us about this in the Qur'an. Not everyone who picks up the book of Allah is guided. Don't think that. People think that anyone, this is in the Qur'an, okay, khalas. He's talking Qur'an, that means it must be okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. Allah misguides people with the book of Allah, and Allah leads to guidance people with the book of Allah Azza wa Jal as well. If He sees that you have hidden agendas in your heart, if He sees that you're afraid of the people and you're not afraid of Him when you're looking into the words of God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may take you away from guidance, right? So constantly make dua, Allah increases your guidance and establishes your heart. Like Allah established the hearts of these people. فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سُجَّدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, all of these magicians, they fell into sujood. قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ هَارُونَ وَمُوسَى. They said that we have believed in the Lord of Harun and Musa. قَالْ آمَنْتُمْ لَهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ آذَنَ لَكُمْ. You believed in him before I even gave you permission. Fir'aun is speaking now. He said, you guys ended up believing in him before I gave you permission to believe him in him. إِنَّهُ لَكَبِيرُكُمُ الَّذِي عَلَّمَكُمُ السِّحْرِ. He must have been the one who taught you guys sihr all along. He must have been the one who taught you guys magic all along. You guys didn't know magic. He's the one who's your teacher in magic. He's the one who's above all of you. That's why his magic was even stronger than yours. Now he's making some random excuses. And this is what happens to people who lose in competitions, and they don't wish to accept their loss. Like basically a sore loser. Fir'aun here is being a sore loser. He lost the competition, he lost the challenge, he lost the plot, and now he's just making some random excuses that make absolutely no sense. He says, إِنَّهُ لَكَبِيرُكُمُ الَّذِي عَلَّمَكُمُ السِّحْرِ. He's the one who taught you sihr all along. So, and you guys ended up believing in him without asking me for permission. You should have first at least asked me for permission before believing in him, right? This is how much you disdain me, and this is how much you care not for me, and so on and so forth. What am I going to do to you? فَلَأُقَطِّعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ. What I'm going to do to you is I'm going to cut your hands off, and I'm going to cut your feet off. مِنْ خِلَافٍ, from opposite directions. So he's going to cut the right hand and the left foot, or the left hand and the right foot. That's what التَقْطِيعُ مِنْ خِلَافٍ means, from the opposite side. So the hand and the opposite leg of that. This is the filthy action that he is going to do after he has legitimately lost the plot and lost the challenge that he had made, and after all of these different people who had been, he had been, raising up for literally decades for them to save him on this day, they were not able to do that. So no matter how much you try, this is a sign from Allah Azza wa Jal in this vein as well, that no matter how much one tries, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes for something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it happen. And that's why they used to say, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ أَمْرًا هَيَّأَ لَهُ أَسْبَابَهُ. When Allah wishes for something, Allah simply makes the means occur, right? Musa alayhi salam, Harun are two people. We said in the largest of counts, there was 900,000 magicians, or between magicians and their followers. So you can just imagine how many ropes there must have been, and you can just imagine how many staffs there must have been. We're not sure of the number, but they were very large in all accounts. Okay, even if it was just 80 and 100, 100 people against two, that's a huge thing, right? So the point is, all of them failed, and all of these years of planning failed, because Allah wished for it to fail, and this person didn't realize that, so he thought that he still has within his hand the power. He said, I'm going to cut your hands, I'm going to do this, I'm going to cut your legs, I'm not even going to stop there, I'm going to crucify you as well. فِي جُذُوعِ النَّخِلِ I'm going to crucify you inside of the trunk of palm trees. If you notice, palm trees already happen to be very, very chunky, right? So you're already going to get hurt if someone pushes you against a palm tree. So he says, not just pushing, he says, I'm going to crucify you on, and I'm just saying that loosely for a second, then I'll get back to the actual verse. I'm going to crucify you on palm trees. But hold on, he doesn't say, I'm going to crucify you on palm trees. He says, I'm going to crucify you in palm trees. And what he means by that is, I'm going to push you so deep into the palm trees, it's as if you are in the palm tree itself. When I take those nails and I start digging them through your hands, so you're crucified onto this palm tree, it's going to be so hard of a hit that it's as if your hand is literally stuck to the tree. It's going to be like that. That's what he's trying to say when he says, فِي جُذُوعِ النَّخِلِ, inside of the trunks of these trees. وَلَتَعْلَمُنْ Then you will know, أَيُّنَا أَشَدُّ عَذَابًا وَأَبْقَى Then you will know which one of us, look at this. Look at this hideous behavior, and look at this absolute tyranny, and look at this absolute injustice of all forms of Fir'aun. He's saying, then you will find out, astaghfirullah, which one of us happens to be more in adab, me or Allah. That's what he's trying to say. Because Allah's messenger, Musa alayhi salam, he had warned them of what? He had warned them of the adab of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He had said, لا تفتروا ويلكم لا تفتروا على الله كذبا. Woe to you, do not fabricate upon Allah Azza wa Jalla any lies. فيسحتكم بعذاب. And if you were to do that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish you, will destroy you, will annihilate you, will put you to an end and a close by placing you through a chastisement. He said, now when I do all of this, you will find out who happens to be more stronger in punishment, me or him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course Allah is stronger, because He was not even able to do anything that He planned on doing. As we'll continue learning بإذن الله تعالى. أَيُّنَا أَشَدُّ عَذَابًا وَأَبْقَى Then you will find out which one of us, me or Allah Azza wa Jal, astaghfirullah, is more stronger in punishment, and whose punishment is everlasting or longer lasting. قَالُوا They said, they replied back. Remember we said that these people are very shocking people. Very amazing people. They were in the deepest pits of disbelief at one moment. Suddenly they flipped to such a strong resolve and belief. They said, قَالُوا They said directly, لَن نُؤْثِرَكَ We will never give you way. We will never prefer you. عَلَى مَا جَاءَنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ We will never prefer you over the clear guidances that have come to us from Allah Azza wa Jal. وَالَّذِي فَطَرَنَا By the one who has created us, i.e. Allah Azza wa Jal, right? So they're taking an oath by the one who had created them, and they're at the same time mocking Fir'aun by telling Fir'aun that you used to be in our minds and we were afraid of you, but now we're not going to prefer you over all the signs that have come to us. Notice what they say. They say, we're not going to prefer you over the signs that have come to us. As in us, the magicians, right? That's what they're trying to say. Us, the previous ex-magicians, right? Now the reason why they're saying that is because the signs were best read by the magicians, right? Because it was a sign or a miracle for the Prophet Musa alayhi salam from the same form or from the same type as the thing in which these magicians had excelled, or this society had excelled. Society had excelled in magic, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Musa alayhi salam something even greater than magic. Not something that appears one way, but it really transforms. So if they could take their staff, turn them into snake, Musa alayhi salam's staff literally turns into a snake, right? So Musa alayhi salam's miracle is even greater than whatever they can make appear happen, right? Now, considering that, they said that لَن نُؤْثِرَكْ, we're not going to prefer you, O Fir'aun, over the signs that have come our way, because we are the ones who can read these signs best, because we are the ones who know how to make people feel that a staff has turned into a snake when where it really hasn't. But we know that that wasn't just a feeling, we know that wasn't just an appearance, we know that wasn't sleight of hand, we know that was a real transformation into a snake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues. And He says, quoting these people who are amazing people, who transformed into Muslims, who reverted to Islam in a blink of an eye when they saw the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and He says, فَقَضِي مَا أَنْتَ قَاضٍ. Now they're saying to Fir'aun, then do whatever you want. Basically do whatever the heck you want. Whatever you do, you want to cut us, you want to cut our legs, you want to cut our hands, you want to cut us min khilaf, right? You want to crucify us and you want to dig nails through our hands right into the trees. All of that is not going to stop us from belief. Rather, we're going to continue believing. إِنَّمَا تَقْضِي هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. You're simply going to be able to rule within this worldly life, this transitory life, this lowly life. Dunya literally means low. عُلْيَا and dunya, right? Something that's low. So the dunya, this worldly life, is a lowly life. There's a hereafter as well, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. That is really the true life. That is the true life in fact. Allah continues, quoting these former magicians, إِنَّا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّنَا لِيَغْفِرَ لَنَا خَطَايَانَا وَمَا أَكْرَهْتَنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنَ السِّحْرِ. We have believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have believed in Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. لِيَغْفِرَ لَنَا خَطَايَانَا, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may forgive our khataya, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may forgive our sins. وَمَا أَكْرَهْتَنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنَ السِّحْرِ, and we have believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Allah may also forgive the sins of us committing sihr, of us doing magic, because of the forceful treatment that you had done for us to do the magic. As we said earlier, Fir'aun would try to force people to learn magic, right? Even till today, by the way, when a certain government is trying to push a certain agenda, they will make degree programs, or they'll make entire programs and so on and so forth, and then they will place scholarships for those specific programs, right? Because they're trying to pump a certain agenda. Fir'aun was basically doing the equivalent of that historically. He was trying to pump the idea of sihr. So he was trying to produce as many sahara in the society as possible. So when and if, according to his mind, Musa alayhi salam does come, there's someone to challenge Musa alayhi salam. So they say, we're going to believe in our Lord, and that's so that He may forgive us, also forgive us for the forceful treatment that you had put us through by forcing us to learn sihr, magic. Wallahu khayrun wa abqa. You think your adab, you think your punishment is going to be severe upon us, and you think that is going to be everlasting or long-lasting. Allah is even better than all of that, and Allah is even more everlasting than all of that, right? إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَأْتِ رَبَّهُ مُجْرِمًا. Look at these people, subhanAllah. These are people who just yesterday they happened to be people who disbelieved. Just moments ago they happened to be people who have disbelieved. But suddenly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed iman within their hearts, so much so that they're willing to stand up to the greatest tyrant of that time. And perhaps one of the greatest tyrants in the history of mankind, Pharaoh, who would treat people like animals, who would kill children on a daily basis, any child that was born, just because he was afraid for his mulk, just because he was afraid for his dominion. He would kill children in the entire society. This is that man, and these people are standing before him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and He says, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَأْتِ رَبَّهُ مُجْرِمًا. Indeed, he who comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to his Lord, مُجْرِمًا, as a mujrim, as a criminal, فَإِنَّ لَهُ جَهَنَّمَ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى. So he will definitely have Jahannam. He will definitely have hellfire as his abode. لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى. He's not going to die therein, nor is he going to be able to properly live. Now this verse has a lot of different meanings that can be drawn from it. But first and foremost, I want to stop at the word مُجْرِمًا. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَأْتِي رَبَّهُ مُجْرِمًا. He who comes to his Lord as a criminal. Okay? Now Ibn Ashur explaining this, he says that generally within the Qur'an, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says مُجْرِم, it's referring to a non-Muslim. Okay? It's referring to a kafir. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word مُجْرِمِين. And an example of that in the Qur'an is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَنِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ وَلَمْ نَكُمْ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِضِينَ وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينَ. Asking of what the مُجْرِمِين, who the مُجْرِمِين are. قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. They said, we weren't people who used to pray. وَلَمْ نَكُمْ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. And we didn't used to feed the poor as well. وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِضِينَ. And we used to indulge in basically matters of disbelief or engage ourselves in such matters. مَعَ الْخَائِضِينَ. Those people who also engage or indulge in the verses of Allah or the signs of Allah and so on and so forth. Right? وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينَ. And we used to also deny the Day of Judgment. And Allah calls such people مُجْرِمِين. Okay? So in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't use the word kafir alone for someone who is a non-Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word kafir, uses the word other words as well. But this doesn't mean that those other words, when used, that particular group, they're not non-Muslims. That's not what that means. Some people have this basically a lunatic idea really in our times, that And an idea that's really never really prevailed in the history of Islam amidst pretty much all different theological groups and backgrounds and all different sects and so on and so forth, that someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to as the people of the book, they're really the people of the book and they're not non-Muslims and so on and so forth. These are ideas that propagandists, they look into the Qur'an and they look at the ayat which are a little bit confusing, and people in the general public may not be able to understand because they don't spend their time with the text of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they throw these meanings at the people to confuse the people. That's the reality. Whereas in reality, in essence, if Allah uses the word mujrim, it may be referring to a non-Muslim. It may be referring to a kafir as well. Similarly, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses other words as well, the people of the book. Now the people of the book, some people say they're really not non-Muslims. This is a new prevalent idea, especially coming out of certain parts in the Middle East now. But again, this idea is totally a misguided idea. There's no essence for this, there's no basis for this. Those who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should call them people who disbelieve in Allah. Why? Because they also call us people who disbelieve in whatever they believe in, right? Someone is telling you, I am not a Muslim. Why do you have to enforce onto them that, no, actually you really are a Muslim, you just didn't know. Now that, if someone is a kafir or a non-Muslim, that doesn't, in some people's mind, and this also shows maybe they are the ones who have fanatical ideas, because in some people's minds, the word kafir equates to killing or something like that. So some people who may have this perception, which is wrong, which is not true, they will say, okay, well, toward this misconception in my mind, let me just change the entire idea that no one is a kafir except the one who denies Islam after he's been presented with a clear picture of Islam. Now this is not true, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala differentiates between denial and kufr. Yes, denial can be kufr. Denial can be disbelief. But in many places in the Qur'an, including Surah Al-Baqarah, including Surah Al-Ma'idah, including throughout the Qur'an rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala differentiates between denial and between kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Those people who do what? They do kufr, and then they deny my signs as well. So there's denial, and then there's kufr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put those two as separate ideas. If kufr was the same thing as denial, then there would be no point in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. Right? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us that means that sometimes the word kufr can be used even if there was no denial involved. But some people have this idea that the only time you can use the word kafir for someone is after you say that this is the signs of Allah, you show them all the signs of Allah, they now willingly deny, then You can use the term kafir. Otherwise, there's no word kafir. But as I said, all of this goes back to the misunderstanding of the treatment of non-Muslims. Non-Muslims are not equivalent. Some of them can be our friends. Some of them can be even our families. Some of them can be all sorts of things. The problem is not the word kafir. Kafir doesn't mean war suddenly. Kafir doesn't mean bloodshed. Kafir doesn't mean killing someone. Kafir can be your family member. It can be your wife. Okay? It means someone who doesn't believe in what I believe in. A Christian doesn't think you're a Christian as a Muslim. A Jewish person doesn't think, in fact, they don't think that Muslims are Jews. That's not what they think. Okay? They think that we believe in an idea and those people disbelieve in the idea we believe in. We think, as Muslims, we believe in an idea. Those people disbelieve in the idea that we believe in. This does not mean that that suddenly there's going to be a war, there's going to be bloodshed, there's going to be killing. This is a totally ludicrous idea, to be honest with you. But as I said, based on this premise, some people, they attempt to misinterpret the words of God. We can interpret the words of God clearly, as they are, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. And at the same time, we can also interpret other words of God, which also tell us that, لَا يَنْحَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forbid you from those people who did not fight against you and they did not expel you from your homes, that you be kind to them and that you be just to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who are just, right? So at the same time, when we establish the words of God as they are, we can also look at the other words of God which tell us to be kind to people that are kind to us. Those people who did not fight us for the sake of our religion, we do not have a problem with them, right? So the word kafir in the minds of some could mean this, but it doesn't mean that, okay? It's not as boogie, it's not like the boogeyman as some people like to paint it to be. It is not an appreciated term in the Quran as well. Because of course, us as believers, we wish everybody believes in what we believe in. Okay, someone who disbelieves in that, we're not happy that they're going to be disbelieving. In our minds, they are going to be they're not going to be granted salvation on the Day of Judgment. That can't be a good thing, right? But that also does not mean suddenly we're going to become vicious and savages and start pillaging and massacring and so on and so forth. Some people have this preconception and they have this misunderstanding, so they go to the Quran and try to reinterpret the words of God, which is again also not an academically accurate thing to do. فَإِنَّ لَهُ جَهَنَّمَ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى. Now such a person who is a criminal, he is going to be granted hellfire. As we said, salvation is only for Muslims. In the Muslim minds, just as salvation is only for the Christians in the Christian minds, and just as salvation is only for the Jews in the Jewish mind, and so on and so forth. So we're going to establish our scripture as it is. فَإِنَّ لَهُ جَهَنَّمَ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى. So such person will be granted hellfire. He will not die therein, nor will he be alive. Okay, what does that mean? He will not be given the opportunity to die. Because when you die, no longer are you being punishment. And that's why the people of Jahannam, no longer are you going through punishment. So that's why the people of Jahannam, they will say to Malik, they will say, Ya Maliku, Malik being the caretaker of Jahannam. They will say to him, Ya Maliku, O Malik, لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكُ. Let your Lord kill us and take our lives away, right? Because they're going through so much pain, they just want it to come to an end. That's it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا. Such a person will not actually die within hellfire. وَلَا يَحْيَى. And nor will he actually get to live. And what that means is, he won't be living it up, as they say, right? He's going to be going through punishment. He's going to be going through chastisement. He's going to be going through, he's going to be in Jahannam, in hellfire. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you and I from hellfire. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakum Allahu khairan for listening. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.